company's called Doula. And dot, dot, dot. What else? What else do you guys do?
We call ourselves a business in a box.
Okay.
I didn't come up with it. Our customers did.
Thank God.
Listen to customers.
I listen to them. I don't want to listen to you. Tell me what they said.
We own the problem, or we own the solution. Customers own the problem.
Okay. I like
and
that.
And what customers said was, okay, there's a million ways to form an LLC.
Correct.
Maybe not a million. There's hundreds, if not thousands.
Right.
You go online, you try to do it on your own, you call up your lawyer friend or CPA, yep. or you go on Google and try to find a company, mm-hmm. but they'll form your company. And we heard directly from customers, quote, I get thrown to the wolves.
Yeah.
I have to open a bank account. Can I even open a bank account? Do I have to go into the branch? Can I do it from outside the US? Mm-hmm. Tax filings, IRS, do I have to pay fines? I don't want to be out of compliance. How do I get a website? What about insurance? The list goes on. There's a never-ending onboarding checklist. Mm-hmm. So we, naively, but I think actually being naive or a beginner can be super helpful when starting a business.
Not just super helpful, probably the best way to start because you don't know how fucking stupid you are yet.
You don't know how stupid you are and you try things which other people said, it's probably not a good idea. But if you think from first principles, it could be. Mm-hmm. And what we decided was it doesn't make sense to just form the company and let people fend for themselves. Why don't we form their company, spin up their financial payment stack? So bank account, connected to payments, and then keep it compliant. So we wrap it with taxes. Formation is a one-time $197 fee.
Right.
Taxes is either $300 a month or $2,200 a year.
Right.
And it's everything you need. It's bookkeeping, state filings, IRS filings, and we spin up your bank account.
Okay. Doula. How did you end up here, man?
I think about this a lot.
You were on Wall Street for a little while?
I interned doing sales and trading during college.
You didn't make it, man. Thank God you didn't make it.
Were you on Wall Street?
Of course.
Of course. I think everyone maybe has a stint. It might not be an internship.
My stint was eight years.
8 years. Okay. Yeah. Mine was 8 weeks. It was an internship.
Hey, lucky you, dude. Lucky you. I needed to give it the old college try, which was a quarter of my life before I got into the wild and crazy world of entrepreneurship.
But actually how I got here starts during that internship.
Okay.
Sales and trading. It was a Morgan Stanley. And during the internship, I realized I was addicted to these tech stocks. I would pitch the tech stocks. I found myself sitting next to the tech traders. We had this stock trading challenge with all the interns. And they said, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't count. But everyone checked the scoreboard. And first week, I made this massive bet. No one else was doing it. They were making these tiny bets. I went all in on the Bank of Greece. And this was when actually they just defaulted. So I bet the wrong way. I went to zero.
Yeah.
And it was embarrassing as hell, but I ended up winning because I just focused on tech stocks. I sat next to the tech traders.
Okay.
And I realized that summer, trading's fun. I think it's kind of like gambling. It's fast paced. It's quantitative, all things I like.
Yeah.
I studied math and statistics undergrad, but I was like, rather than just watching the ticker price, I want to influence that price.
Right.
And that meant, how do I go work at a tech company?
Right.
And I lucked out. My first flight to San Francisco was for an interview at a company called Dropbox.
Yeah.
Second time was day one on the job in this rotational program.
Okay.
And that's how I got into tech. And then when you're in San Francisco and every day when I would walk to work, you pass the Uber office, the Pinterest office, Airbnb, and walk into Dropbox.
Murderer's row of...
And you see people who you met there every week, if not every day, going to start companies. You realize, wait a second, maybe I could do this.
Right. Because you're in the culture of... This isn't weird to start something your own and believe in it.
Yep. And I think it comes back to, you know, whether it's New York or San Francisco or Miami, and those aren't the only places in the world, but more than ever, I believe that who you're surrounded by is maybe the single most important thing.
Yeah.
The group chats you're in, the information you consume on Twitter,
right.
or the physical people around you. So I left Dropbox and said, let me try to start my own company. Super into health and fitness, and I tried to make a social fitness app. Launched it. Did not work. I was trying to create this combination of Instagram and ClassPass. But when I put out this Twitter thread, this angel investor reached out and said, hey, I don't want to invest, but you seem interesting. Like, there's a cool post. Let's meet up. Fast forward 3 months, he said, hey, I know another solo founder. He's technical. He can build. He can design. But he's looking for someone on the business side. And then we teamed up and got into Y Combinator.
The dream team, if you will, was created.
Team started there. But here's the thing. And this is when it was... fully hardest is we got into Y Combinator with a different idea.
Okay. I've heard this now a few times and I love this. It's like you apply under one idea. By the time you get in, you're like, yeah, we're going to do something else.
This was halfway through the batch and people might have strong opinions, loosely held or strong opinions, strongly held about YC,
right.
but they are meticulous about each week. What is your primary metric? did you hit that metric? If not, why? What are you going to try next week to hit it? And after 6 weeks or 4 weeks, when you're not hitting your 7% growth number, you can't point the finger anywhere else. And that was us with this company. It was video stories. Instead of doing a Slack or Zoom call, posted a little Snapchat type story.
Okay.
And it was during that pivot process when we said, crap, we don't know what we're going to build, but we do not want to spend $30,000, which is what we did. It might sound absurd, but you don't know what you don't know, to form and get our company off the ground as a non-US team.
Okay.
And that is when Doula was born, where we said, this is a cookie cutter process. No one's serving international residents. That was our wedge.
Right.
Companies serve US residents. They require a social. But the truth is, you can actually form a US company, get a business bank account, and stay 100% compliant with the IRS from outside the US. And half the world, if not 90% of the world, doesn't know that.
Right.
And we realized, holy crap, if we could have a billboard or like a Super Bowl ad for the entire world that says, did you know you could do this? Our business would skyrocket.
Right.
And that's why we're doing a heavy push now on content and putting the word out and creative ways to get eyeballs, because so many people just don't know this is possible. But I believe, and this is something I fundamentally believe, any person out there has a side hustle or some entrepreneurship bug inside them.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Anyone. And our job is to turn that dream idea into their dream business.
And my job is to get more people to believe in their side hustle and turn it into a business.
How do you do that though?
I sit here and talk to guys like you, and I show you that your story makes as little sense as my story. And we turned out just all right. We're a work in process. We haven't arrived. And that's inspirational because everyone's sitting there with their disorganized life, with their disorganized desk, and maybe they're in a job that they don't love, and they're saying, well, it's just probably not going to work out. You know, the statistics that whatever, however many small businesses fail in the United States, whoever the fuck put that statistics out, man, give them a full blown body slam, because that statistic, the way that that statistic does, it does more harm than good. Because it dissuades more than it does. Like, really, that statistic should be like, well, yeah, but if you build three, your chances of failing go down to 20%. Okay, your first time business, bro. If I had you know how many things I've built that have failed? I'm building things in real time that are failing. I don't even call it failing anymore. We're just like, that didn't work. Shut it down.
Yep.
It's not I failed.
Part of the process.
Yeah. You're like, I'm not like a bad guy now. It's like, well, no, you're only a... The only person that should do some deep thinking is the person that isn't trying at all and testing their ideas. And you know, the real scenario that I wish the people that hit this scenario, I wish it didn't quite happen, where they hit their first idea out of the park. Because what they do is they develop a sense of, I know how to do this, and they actually don't. What they've done is they've hit the entrepreneurship lotto. They've had an idea. They've somehow fallen into a team structure that worked. Maybe customers or capital started to flood in, and it looks like they're geniuses, when really a genius needs to be tested over the long run. That's how you tell if someone's a genius or a fucking idiot. It's not that their first thing was right. It's that their 80th thing was right and still survives. So for me, what I want to do is I want to get more people to want to start an LLC for the purpose of building their first business, which may or may not work out. You've already said your first business or two didn't work out.
I only told you about the first. There are many other ones too. You're totally right. I think everyone sees the tip of the iceberg, but underneath that, I don't care who you are.
Right.
You failed, but it's what you said is so true. Those failures, it's part of the process, and it's the only way you will end up succeeding. And I do think that's where the resilience is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Now, this is where it doesn't mean like continue to throw crap against the wall. You have to iterate. And a lot of people hear the stories of like, they persevered.
Well, define iteration.
It's not blindly persevering.
Correct. Define iteration. What does iteration mean to you? I don't have a tattoo, but if I had a tattoo, it would say iterate. And thug life.
If I had a tattoo and I might do this, it would say LLC. Gotta go all in.
Yeah. Put that on your Hinge profile and see what happens.
Actually, on that, I'm gonna share actually something related to that.
Okay.
I don't know how you brought that up, because it's funny.
I could read your fucking mind.
This is the latest growth tactic or growth trick we're gonna do. It's gonna work too. I'm gonna tell you on that, but iteration
to me. I'm already a believer.
Actually, let's use this as an example for iteration. Okay. Iteration to me is, I think a lot of entrepreneurship's like baseball, where in baseball, you make the Hall of Fame if you can hit three out of 10, every time you step up to the plate, if 3 out of 10 times you hit the ball
somewhere
between the foul lines, it doesn't have to be a home run, but
right.
You could be fast. It could be a ground ball each time, but 3 out of 10 times, if you do that for 10 plus years, you're probably going to be in the Hall of Fame. Maybe not Hall of Fame, but 300 average in
baseball.
You're
getting a paycheck from the MLB.
Oh yeah. You're a professional athlete.
Someone's going to call you slugger at the nightclub. It's legit. It's legit.
Yes.
I'm actually considering that as my next stop. Anyway, continue.
Okay. So there you go.
I'm like, fuck, I want to be called slugger.
Baseball there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If you do that, you're a professional athlete. Now I think in entrepreneurship too, the goal is how many swings can you take? And the more swings you take, the better chance you have of hitting a home run.
Right.
Now, the home run does not have to be raising millions in venture. Right. Does not have to be millions in capital coming in. Right. Millions of customers. But that's how I view the failure or iteration is how many swings can you take?
Right.
And you don't want to take the massive swing where you throw out your back. It's
You don't, want to die. You can't die.
Exactly. That's binary. If you die, there's no more.
Right.
But the swings are each day, what are the bets you can take? Small experiments. And most of the experiments will fail, more than 7 out of 10, like if you take the baseball analogy. Mm-hmm. But that to me is iteration, is you have an idea, don't get decision paralysis and say, oh, what if this, and start writing ideas down for weeks. Think, what could I do today or tomorrow to test the
from
idea?
Where I am.
Exactly.
Because we you know, I have the luxury of my DMs. And the DM is always, I'm here, but I want to influence something out here that is so far from my current stance, it doesn't even make sense to talk about, right? It's like, hey, so I'm a 15-year-old high school student, and I'm just really trying to understand how I could create an options hedge fund. I'm like, dude, let's pump the brakes here, man. Also, where did you get the idea that you wanted to create an options hedge fund? Because last time I checked, there's not a hedge fund, unless your dad runs it, that would let you in the office right now, son. You know, it's like, I love the spirit, but let's make contact somewhere else. You know, what about, not that I'm telling 15-year-old kids to become gamblers, but what can you do? Can you play poker? All right, man, let's start playing poker. Let's see how good you are at poker. This might have some correlation to how good of a trader you're going to become. Okay, cool. You're 15-year-old kid, you're running the tables in on all the million-dollar tables in Los Angeles now. Okay, now I'm listening, right? Where can you go? Or, hey, you know, I want to do this thing. So I created a paper trading account with fake money. And it turns out that I'm 3 standard deviations above the norm. I'm a genius. How do you think I should get started now? Oh, okay. I'm listening. And by the way, I'm not like Father Time or God listening to these DMs going, I know what you are. It's just like, well, no, you've taken the step from where you are to some place where you can get to and touch. And that's just, dude, you're just moving in the right direction. So iteration is very important because you're swinging from where you are. You're not swinging from some imaginary place in the future. Because if you're swinging from some imaginary place in the future, man, I could see how fucking disheartening that is. You're like, hey, man, I just want to have, you know, 25. I want to have the same car collection that Ralph Lauren has. But, you know, I haven't graduated high school yet. It's like, let's start somewhere, man, you know? Right?
Yeah, 100%. One thing I'd add, and I think the example you gave shows this, is iterating, but also doing it publicly. And I think you said it before, you're doing it in real time.
Yeah.
That to me, it's scary as hell to put yourself out there, especially knowing that the odds are what you're doing is going to fail.
Right.
But not everyone does it. And if you get over that, you're automatically, actually, but the numbers have shown this in any social media network, it's called the rule of 1, 9, and 90, where 1% of people on any social media network create content.
Okay.
9% curate or engage, but they're not creating. And 90% are lurkers. So by just posting, and if you're posting about what you're building and you're iterating,
you're already in the 1%.
Boom. So the idea of building it publicly, use the trading example. And this is something I'm trying to do now for all the experiments we're doing. So I'm going to come back to, I don't know how you knew this, but like putting LLC in the Hinge profile.
Yeah.
An idea I've had is, okay, what if on my Hinge profile, every single prompt was something about like, you know, what if I told you could form an LLC from anywhere in the world from 197? It's viral marketing. It's a little bit of a growth hack. And then I did the math. Okay. A Hinge super boost costs $20.
Yep.
Puts you on the algorithm that boosts you for 24
30
hours.
Or, 30 oh,
minutes.
20,
okay. I think, yeah, 30 or depending if you pay more, 24 hours.
Okay.
It costs $197 to form a company. So for every boost, we get one LLC. That's a 5x return on ad spend. Wait a second. We could have a new channel here. Now, at a minimum, it's going to be a little bit of a marketing stunt. But hey, maybe you have a new channel. And I mean, this is a bit more of an absurd example. But those types of things, there's so many little micro bets you can make.
Right.
Whether you're, hey, I'm trading, I'm going to just each day in public show my trading profile.
Right.
Or every week, I actually write these public investor updates where each week it's, we grew by this much. Here's a highlight, low light, personally and for the company. Mm. And those types of things.
That sounds nice.
I think you mentioned this to me earlier. Like, every once in a while, someone will say to you, hey, like, I really like that post you put out. And you're like, wait, I didn't even know you were on this platform.
Yeah.
But you realize the 90%, they're there, they're listening. And every once in a while when you hear that, it makes everything worth it. Or you realize, holy crap, you have more influence. You have the ability to plant seeds or ideas in people's minds, which is why I think this is awesome. Like, I agree with you. I think we're in lockstep here. So many people out there have the idea. They're just scared to take the leap. And it takes people like you putting out content like this to help them realize, I can do that too. And that's powerful because I think that can be a trajectory changing moment in someone's life.
Right. Well, all I am is them with a few more years, a microphone, and a suit that I've been eating a lot of carbs and is starting to close in on me.
It is, I guess it's-
That is
it's
the gain, only difference.
Gain season now and then cut season starts
soon. I know, dude. I have to start cutting pretty soon.
Cut season starts soon.
Yeah.
I actually signed up for my first bodybuilding show in October.
Yeah?
Yeah. So cut season starting very soon.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, I was on one of these, I was doing a pod with one of the first ones with my friend, and he's a pretty jacked dude. And he's just like, oh, I couldn't gain weight and blah, blah, blah. And after the pod, I just said, hey, is that true what you said? You just changed your caloric intake and you counted in an app. And he's like, yeah, dude. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to do that. And now I'm busting out of all of my tailored trousers. So don't try this at home, kids. If you listen if you listen to the stuff on this pod, it might actually work out for you.
It might. That means any entrepreneur out there, change your Hinge profile to your business. And then it could be 5x plus return on ad spend.
And just let it rip. Yeah. So when you've... Now what I wanted to get to of the story is when things started to click. Like when you pivot... NYC, demo day doula, something like doula. Yeah. Demo days, something like doula. Okay. Now, when did you feel like, okay, it's nice to get a round of applause from a bunch of other fucking smart assholes who built a big ass, you know, thing. When did you print your first, you know, when did Stripe, you know, send you your first little paycheck from someone signing up? How, from that moment, when did that happen next?
When we decided we're going to go down this direction of, hey, formation, business in a box, form company, bank account, taxes.
Yeah.
In the first few weeks, we had our first customer.
Yeah.
I think it was 2 weeks in. And I remember this because the first customer, and we can share this now, we had no clue what we were doing. We had never formed a company before. And
yourselves.
Never done it. Never. And then this
And you're selling
happened.
A product that helps people build and
exactly.
start companies.
And that's when I realized... Everyone out there is making it up as they go. Anyone.
Facts.
Straight facts. Doesn't matter. They can look like they have all their shit
You're
together.
Right. Like
they
me.
Do not.
I look like I have my shit together.
Hopefully I look like I have a bit of it together.
You do.
Everyone is making it up as they go. And it sounds absurd, but first customer, my co-founder was like, hey, I know this guy is like looking to apply to YC. Mm-hmm. They're from outside the US. Amazing. That's who we're going after. They need to accept a check from an investor and set up their bank account. And I'm like, wait, introduce me. And I remember him saying to me, but we don't know how to do this. We have no clue. And I'm like, we have no clue, but this is the customer.
This is the goddamn business, man.
This is the business. So first customer, they came in.
You physically met them.
At this time, it was COVID. So this was
okay,
over Zoom.
Of a Zoom call.
But we met them.
You met them.
Met them, sold the thing. And now I'm like, we got to go figure out how to form this company and not fuck it up.
Fuck yeah.
And we did it. I found templates. I found our legal docs. We put everything together.
Sure.
Right, the hell out of the experience. And that was customer number one.
Right.
Now, thousands of customers later,
right.
we know it really well. And that's where I think like being a beginner or being naive, owning that beginner mindset is so critical because I realized going through that process, so much of this can be automated.
Right.
I joke now in my next life, I could be an international tax accountant or CPA. I've learned a shit ton about international taxes.
Right.
But it's by like going into the weeds and learning where you find these opportunities. And now that was that first moment, that first payment. But then as it goes, you start to realize, wow, entrepreneurship is just huge globally. And a lot of people, even for our business, you look at the stats, 400,000 LLCs are being formed every month in the United States.
Okay.
Maybe even
more. Didn't know that.
Maybe even more. Okay. And I actually think that there is mass non-consumption happening when it comes to entrepreneurship. Non-consumption means, and I actually go back to the story of Airbnb. When Airbnb was pitching investors and showing, yeah, hey, we're going after global travel, if you will, all the investors and people said, but the hospitality market's only so big.
Right.
Like, you're competing with hotels.
Right.
And what Airbnb said was, no, we're not. We're creating a new market. And what that meant was you would talk to people who would go book a flight or book a trip and stay with Airbnb. And they would say time and time again, I wouldn't have gone on this trip if it wasn't for Airbnb. I wanted that authentic experience. I wanted to feel like I was
in the country. I want to have a stove and a place to microwave something and
exactly,
a washer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we actually believe most people globally don't know it's possible to even form a company.
Right.
Or they get caught up in the mental inertia, physical inertia, the money inertia, the task inertia, whatever you want to call it.
And they just
it.
Don't do anything.
So they don't do it. So if we can make it click button easy,
right,
we believe as a company, we can single-handedly increase entrepreneurship globally.
Right.
And when you think of it that way, this goes from something where like, yes, there's 400,000 people actively forming per year, but how much of the world has an active internet connection and wants to start a business? I think anyone has some entrepreneurship hustle in them. Yeah. And then you realize the immense scale of how big this could be, where anyone in the world, if you can make it click button easy, let alone just educate them about entrepreneurship,
right,
we're talking, that's a billion plus people who
right,
are interested in entrepreneurship. And I think from there, you never know if they'll start a company, but at least you can open up their eyes to the possibility. And I actually like to think, you know, if our content and what we put out can go far enough, there could be a little kid like in India in middle school who learns about doula or learns about starting a company. And he's like, I'm going to do that.
Right.
And that's huge. Like when I think, when I zoom out and I think about what I want to do and like the impact, et cetera, I'd like to have, that's amazing. Like you can fixate that in someone's mind and drive or inspire them to go start a business. And when you start a business, it's more than just your business. You're impacting your family, you have customers, and the tentacles, if you will, spread farther than that.
Right. Reducing the friction to get to work.
Back to like the,
did I just change your hero image?
No.
Did I just change the copy on your hero?
Oh.
Yeah.
Reducing the, yes. I mean, I like
reducing
the friction.
Reducing the friction to get
I was
to
just
work.
Thinking like, I want that Staples Easy button. And maybe that Staples Easy button, you literally press it and it can actually form a company. Like how right. Could we make it that easy?
Okay. We got to get the Internet of Things guys in here. The IoT guys.
Yes.
Bring them in. Come on guys. Yep. I've got a surprise for you.
Yeah. Staples partnership on the way.
I mean, dude, seriously, that's like this weekend. It's like, for all I know, that yeah. is going
to
happen.
Yeah. Another one we wanted to do is, I mean, I used to be obsessed with Domino's Pizza growing up. They had this 555 deal.
Yeah.
I love Domino's CineSticks too, but they had this, like the tracker where like you get your pizza in 30 minutes or less. And they have the tracker that shows like, oh, you know, they're cooking the food, it's delivered, et cetera. I want to do the same thing for Formation. Like 30 minutes or less, it's actually 10 minutes or less. You can do it very quickly. Have like the Domino's pizza tracker.
Right.
Maybe you form a company, you get a free pizza. Like there's so many ways you can go and there's so many angles you could take it to.
Well, it's like even, I mean, I'm having this conversation right now on and with how my entities are structured. Even like you consider me like a more informed practitioner in the space. I'm not an accountant, I'm not a tax specialist, but I'm informed about the space. The friction and the frustration of converting things, opening new ones is fucking miserable. I find it really hard to make the time to do it. And I'm like, oh, it'll get done eventually. It's like, well, yeah, I better get done eventually or I'm going to have some problems. So yeah, I mean, I'm seeing this in my own life right now about how to optimize and make the best decisions around structure and all that good stuff. Oh yeah, and I'm based in the US. I should know better and should understand how this whole thing works, and I don't. It's how complicated it can be.
Most people have no clue.
Yeah.
It's again, it comes back to, I think everyone is making it up as they go. And if you're in the US, you're a bit more comfortable with it because you've heard of the IRS and you know you can walk into a bank branch. If you live outside the US, you're petrified of the IRS. You have no clue how you can, or even if you can, open a bank account.
Right.
And then you're like, I just don't want to mess up this formation process. It's a type one decision where once you go through that door, there is no turning back. Mm. Technically you can, but it costs, there's amendments and costs involved versus like a type two decision where like, hey, you can go in the door and just walk right back
right.
in. So for those irreversible things, as a founder or anyone starting a business, there are things that you are best at. That's likely knowing your customers, building, and it's selling. Mm-hmm. The unsexy yet critical back office, the paperwork, the filings, you are never going to be best at that. Mm-hmm. And like, should you spend your time and energy on it, or should you outsource it to a company or person? Doesn't have to be us, but should you outsource it to someone who can do it for you, who's done it thousands of times and give you peace of mind? And that's the end of the day. Like, what is the price of that peace of mind and the cost of your time? And time's the most valuable thing. Yeah. I just saw this thing recently. Someone asked, I think they asked just like some 30-something-year-olds or 40-year-olds, like, would you give up
on the street in Los Angeles or something?
Maybe it was like one of those like talking videos, but like, would you give up all of your net worth to go back to when you were 25? And everyone said yes. Oh. And I think, maybe it's not all of it. But
my 30s rule. My 30s rule.
But point of it is like, time is the most valuable thing. You don't realize what you have until until it's gone.
And then what you're doing there is you're putting a price on time.
Right. What is that price? I don't know. But the point is like, if you can't be the best at it, or you think for your, especially as a business owner, like, is it the most critical thing that only you uniquely can do? Outsource it to the best possible provider. And typically a tech solution is going to be able to offer it to you at a lower cost and a faster cost too.
Yeah. Because you can't, because we have these conversations sometimes where we talk about, hey, you know, you really should be filling talent around you. We know you can't afford talent yet, you know, but you can afford software most of the time.
Yeah.
The most awesome part of this is that you created a company that helps people create companies without having an idea of how to create a company. And that is fucking fantastic, because nothing is going to inspire people more than that. And it's the sell it before you built it philosophy that I'm all about. I'm all about it. Why would you build it before you know if anyone wants it?
I say all the time, make what you can sell, don't sell what you can make.
Right.
Most companies die not because they can't build the product. I actually think building the product, especially in this day and age, is easy or it's baked. Right. The harder thing is, can you repeatably acquire customers? Can you sell the product? Can you cut through the noise in today's day and age?
Right.
That oftentimes is the bigger risk.
Right.
Which is a wild thing in this day and age. If anything, it means the bar for starting is actually so much lower. It's lower than it's ever been before.
It's definitely lower than it's ever been, especially with AI at, you know, the wind of AI at your back.
Yep.
It's something that I certainly follow. I follow it to the scrappiest of scrappies. This podcast is the result of a sell it before you build it. Before the camera went on, you know, I said the first podcast was a, you know, my 19 or 20 year old intern from college. And I said, have you ever been on a podcast before? He said, no. I said, can you read this piece of paper? He said, yes. And I said, we're shooting a podcast today. He was like, all right. And then we had it chopped up. And just like all good tests, we didn't tell anyone it was a test, you know? And people said, hey, Nick, this is a pretty good podcast. What is it? And we were just like, conversion, you know, conversion. That counts as a quote unquote sale, right? So we got enough of those. We actually did it twice. We did two mock podcasts. I mean, what does that mean? They were questions from the audience, and we turned it into a Q&A session. So, you know, it's not like it was a fake questions and fake answers. The format didn't exist yet. Certainly the manufacturing component of it didn't exist yet. The editing and the flow and the timelines and all all the psychotic shit that goes behind disseminating information and video and all that stuff, right? And we waited till people were like, give me the link. Like, Nick, don't be a gatekeeping bastard. Give me the link. And we're like, oh yeah, there's no podcast, but we're going to make it now. You know, and it's like, what could make you more fearless going into battle knowing you've already kind of won, right? It's like, you're like got the armor on and like you got a letter from like a carrier pigeon and you open it. It's like the other army's scared as shit. You're like, all right, let's go. Let's go. You know, of course, we're not talking about warfare and gladiator times, guys. We're talking about entrepreneurship in a relatively safe, affluent country. But yeah, it's the same.
You've quite literally won the battle before the battle has started, or won the war before the battle is won, whatever that, you know what I mean? Like you've, before you've even gone in, you've given yourself the confidence, this is going to work. And then comes back to iteration. But I also do think, you know, it's very interesting that fearlessness, I think, is also something which I'm curious that you think about this to deal with this too, but I also think that there's a time, and for me, I don't know when this happened, but there definitely was a moment when you become really, really, really formidable mm-hmm. and dangerous of sorts when you become fearless, when you stop caring as much mm-hmm. about what others think or like the chatter, the chit chat, et cetera. Like you mentioned your DMs earlier. I'm sure there's like not all positive things in the DMs too.
Oh
maybe
my God.
Majority not. The trolls, the people saying, this is stupid. What is this? What is this? But right. when you really say, you know what, like I have a circle or these are the people whose opinions or that I'm going to take into account with feedback, right. but the others I'm not, then you become dangerous because you're just like, I'm going to put stuff out there. I'm going to do what I do. And by doing, you learn. Like inspiration doesn't just strike like lightning bolts. It comes right. from rolling up your sleeves, being in the weeds by, you know, sharpening the iron, whatever it might yeah. be. So I think the fearlessness can come from doing little micro tests.
Right.
But also I think that to me is like the biggest battle end of the day. Like when you wake up and when you go to sleep, it's just your thoughts.
Yeah.
And if you can win that, and that to me is the biggest thing. It's like, I don't, even now, you're at a scale, which we would love to get to at some point, but like there's still days today when I'm like, scared to click post on something. Mm. And to me, it's absurd because it's like, I've posted way crazier stuff in the past, but right. I feel like that battle, it's the never ending battle and you need to defeat that demon every single day. Mm-hmm. And the way you defeat the demon is do it every day. You cast right. votes for it.
And construct a team that presses the post button for you. No, I'm
that
kidding.
Too.
You're like,
make it easier. That's the hack.
They're like, you can't press the button. We already pressed it, you jackass.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, wait, don't post it. Okay, fine. You posted it. No, I when I say fearlessness, you have a better idea that things are going in the right direction, but you're still an idiot, right? So it's like, I'm like, oh, I can invest a little bit of time and energy into this and maybe a little bit of money into this, maybe a little bit of personnel into this as I get more and more confident. The confidence builds up over time. The only way that you do that is by making contact with reality as quickly as possible, creating your test, selling it before you've built it, because the whole thing is you didn't even need to know how to do anything to take the call with your friend who wanted to start the business and had a problem to solve. You just had to be like, I'm listening and I have a notebook and I know how to write down this conversation and distill it into something. And then, you know, a lot of people think that you can't work in tech without understanding how to be a developer or developing software. It's like, well, no, you partner and you build a dream team. There's product and there could be a technical and developer co-founder. It's like, you don't need all the stuff. What you do need is you do need to be aware of what's happening in making and taking a statement on what is happening and how you can solve it. That's what you need to do. But the good news about that is you didn't need to go to Harvard to do that. I was going to pick on you, Penn, because I'm... Did you think I was going to?
You should have.
I should have.
I did a post recently where it said, you know, like the cost of a Wharton MBA is yeah. $240,000, or you could spend $24 on these four business books.
Oh, God.
It was like very clickbaity.
And Forbes published it too, right? It's like
it got one of these some good listicles. Impressions. Yeah, one of those listicles. But I purposely chose that because I was like, I want to take a dig at a school.
Right.
Why not choose this self-inflicted wound, et cetera? But you're right. Like, end of day... Look, like when it comes to where you go to school and stuff, I actually do think I definitely learned there, but the people you meet, those are probably the biggest connections. Like the people I met and how you get leveled up there. But the other thing is you learn so much more from doing. And when I think about that, I'm like, holy crap.
It's not even a fucking comparison.
For me, the biggest, like, you know, regret's always there, but I'm like, oh my God, there's so many things where I could have done these earlier. Yeah. I could have done these while I was in school. But then I guess Joe Rogan voice, because this is like the first time I heard this, is like, you complain about not having started. No one gives a shit. Like, start now then.
Right.
Like, no one feels bad for you.
Right.
Like, if you realize that today, start doing something.
Right.
So for me, that's the biggest thing is there's so many things I've realized I didn't have to wait. I always told myself, oh, but I need more experience or this or this or that. That's not true. Everyone's making it up as they go. So mm-hmm. even when it comes back to things I wish I'd done in high school or college or even in the last few years, everyone has those. Mm-hmm. So the only thing you can do is start now.
Start now.
Or 10 years from now, you'll wish you started. So right. what's the alternative? Don't start, or 10 years from now, wish you started even more?
Yeah.
More regret?
Right. And there's a word for that. It's called being bitter. Mm. Bitterness is, I almost tried, but I didn't. And therefore, it didn't work out because I didn't try.
Okay. I just learned about this recently, and I actually do think that working hard is incredibly risky. Incredibly risky, and that might sound weird, but the reason for that is that not working hard is a form of psychological protection. If you don't work hard or don't try, you can just tell yourself, oh, I didn't give it my
slacker,
all.
Slacker
didn't
mentality.
Didn't try my best or slacker. It's the same reason why, let's say the night before the test, you go out and you get drunk. The next day, if you fail the test, you fail the test because you were drunk. But imagine if that whole month before you diligently studied, you read every part of the textbook, you did all the practice tests, and you failed. You failed because you were dumb and you didn't prepare well. And that is so risky. Being dumb as a student or anything is the ultimate death toll. So that's incredibly scary. Going all in, committing, studying, preparing. And that makes hard work incredibly risky. But then the way I think about it, and I'm curious how you do, is that, okay, there's two options then. You go all in and you work hard, or 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, you look back and that pain of the regret of not trying. Which one's going to hurt more? I think it's the regret. Even now, there's such small things I regret. Like, this is wild. Like, I think back to high school soccer when I missed this header in like the state playoffs, and I was so close. And I'm like, I could have practiced more with my brother. I could have done training a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that's just a small moment, but it's like that cost of the regret is something I still think about now. Do you want to pay the price of the discipline now or pay the price of the regret in the future?
Right.
But working hard is incredibly risky.
It's interesting to think of not working hard as a protection mechanism, as opposed to, I'm just lazy, I'm a slacker. It's like, no, you're less brave, perhaps, than someone else. And what's cool about that is you can do something about it. You can't become a genius. You can't unbecome a genius if you're a genius, but you can get snap into action if you've been lazy as a protection mechanism. So all those slackers out there, it's good news. You can do something about it. I was not a slacker. I was way too fucking freaked out to be a slacker. I was an obsessive secret student, secret squirrel. No one ever saw me study. I walked in my graduation and I was cum laude and everyone burst into laughter because no one ever saw me. The quote from the audience was, I've never seen him crack a book. And my mom was like, what the hell is going on? I'm just like, you never saw me crack a book, but I did.
Yep.
Every single day, right? There's also, well, that's a different conversation. There's making a pageant out of your hard work versus actually hardworking. Well, that's a whole different can of worms.
I mean, I know where you're going with it, where you can work hard and you're working in silence. No one sees it.
Right.
But you don't get any glory from that. Nothing. You get absolutely nothing from it.
Yeah.
And the thing is with all the hard work too is, especially in entrepreneurship, you're totally right where putting out the stats of how likely it is to fail is not great, but it's the truth. And that's what makes it even scarier is that you're working hard and you know, like statistically, there's a very good chance of failure, which makes it even harder too. And when you're thinking of it that way, then you can just go down this death spiral of sorts. But
right. Start scrolling on TikTok for 10 hours.
Yeah.
Just like, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this.
But one thing, I think this honestly comes back to my parents, where my parents, they grew up in India, they moved to England to start practicing medicine. And when I was 6 years old, my two brothers and I were also born in England, they decided to immigrate to America. And at the time, all I remembered was different cartoons on the show, like Clifford the Big Red Dog and like a new people here and going to school and everyone having different American
called
accents.
Called it a lift instead of an elevator. Just very simple.
Jumper instead of sweater.
Yeah. Just awkward little things like that.
Yes. But in hindsight, or I've asked them like, why did you decide to move here and pick up your entire life? And my parents are doctors. They had to redo their residencies, which residencies looks like you know what residencies are, but the founder of the residency program was a cocaine addict. And there's a whole other story there, but residencies are absurd. You do insane hours of work because you quite literally, he said, you need to live in the hospital to learn. But point being said, they redid their careers and restarted. Why? So my brothers and I could have a chance and opportunity here. And as cheesy as it sounds, the American dream and the access to opportunity and the cultural mixing pot here. But what they instilled in me was that the only thing you can control is hard work. It's hard work, and even then it doesn't guarantee results, but hard work is behind anything. There are no shortcuts in life. You could win the lottery and get lucky, but—
And then you're more likely to die or go bankrupt than to live happily ever after.
Correct.
You look at those statistics too.
Yeah. So, I mean, just end of day, hard work's control the controllables. Hard work is the only thing you can control. And I do believe too, in terms of what you were saying around, you're right. You can't unbecome a genius or just magically become one, but I do think that hard work beats talent. Mm-hmm. until talent decides to work hard. Mm-hmm. Someone mm-hmm. who's talented, if they start working hard, watch out. But hard work can raise anyone's floor. Like your ceiling is your genetic DNA or your IQ, whatever. But just by working hard, by saying you'll do something and do it, by posting content, you know, all these things put you in the 1% already.
Right. Yeah. And it's, man, I wish there was another word for hard work. And I wish it wasn't smart work, which is the dumbest fucking thing in the entire. I
can't tell today. Am I working hard or working smart? I'm not really sure.
There's something that I'm believing in recently, and it's hard work when you're interested isn't hard work to you, but it's impossible for me. So it's like hard work is one thing to you and a different thing to me. It's like if you're someone who is all they want to do is be a quarterback on the football team and I make you paint, you know, copy the Mona Lisa, you know, brush stroke for brush stroke, you're like, this is hard fucking work. And if I take the art major, throw a helmet on him and say, get out there and throw a touchdown, that's going to sound like hard work to them. So we have to be, man, unleash the antenna of asking yourself, what is so hard that you are doing in your sleep? And push the fucking gas pedal.
What feels like play to you?
Yes.
If it feels like play to you, doesn't matter how hard else someone works, mm-hmm. you're gonna just crush them.
Can I give you a good example? This podcast is absolutely ridiculously fun for me.
I can tell.
And there are people that would rather, you know, get knocked off their bicycle than sit here and do this. Because this is public speaking. This is thinking on the fly. This is meeting new people. This is being on camera. This is making sure you have a clean shirt. This is getting up early. This is not going and getting fucked up the whole night before. So you show up and you're a fucking miserable loser on camera. There's a lot of things that go into this. And now I feel like I've just entered like this massive phase of excitement and passion in my life. And there's externalities. I get to meet cool people. I get to learn really, really fast. I get to find out that I'm not that much of a dipshit as compared to really, really smart people. And it's this virtuous circle. It's harder work than I've ever done in my entire life. It doesn't stop. We're doing this on a Saturday because we're out of our minds. We're filming on a weekend and I'm here loving it. And because you wouldn't do it, and it's interesting and insightful, there's value that shakes out of this little crazy Christmas tree called the podcast and called, you know, Doula and Nicholas Crown and the Really Rich podcast. And we all get to benefit. You get to watch me, you know, doing the hard work, and you don't have to do it. You don't have to crack a book. You can listen in. You can listen to smart people. Now you can listen to smart people every week. And I'm prepared to fucking keep doing it. And it doesn't hurt.
I loved when we were doing the like, scheduling coordinating. I asked, hey, can we do it on a weekend? And it's like, yeah, absolutely. Here are slots to Saturday or Sunday.
Right.
I do all my content on the weekends.
Yeah.
And for some people, like people ask like, oh, do you work on weekends? And I say, at first I'm like, yeah, but I'm like, no, it's not work. I like to do my content on the weekends.
Right.
It's like therapeutic for me. It sounds weird to some people, but for me, it's like, amazing. Like I get to come in now and meet a really cool person and right. talk about cool things. And after that, or even before I do this on weekends, like I will sit there and I'll batch out the content for the week. I get to do research on topics, figure out, you know, whether I'm going to pitch a partnership in public or share about mm-hmm. my morning routine or like anything like that. Or mm-hmm. even just like breaking down three tax hacks someone could have for forming an LLC. You can do write-offs, you can expense office purchases, whatever it might be. That to me is not work.
Right.
And when I think about that, it's like, okay, if that feels like work to someone, no way in hell they're doing it on the weekends.
Right.
They're just able to do it one weekend, but they won't be able to. And if it's play to me, it really feels like play, amazing. Like we're gonna beat other people and it's not zero sum. That's not the point. But
it's definitely not zero sum.
That's the thing I love about it too. It's not about beating other people, but I know I'm gonna be able to continue doing it until something changes. We'll see. But if it feels like play, this is play to you. And, you know, a lot of the content I'm trying to push out more really feels like play.
Right.
Amazing. But that doesn't mean that there's going to be things which suck, which you have to do. So it's not all going to be play.
In your spectrum of your day.
Yes.
Everything is not just this fucking, you know, acid trip of just walking through this, you know, kaleidoscope of awesome, cool shit. Yep. Like there's plenty of things that are filling in the gaps that you just have to go and trudge through. But what I'm laughing about is you're doing the same thing as me with, like, I'm making content. I don't do it the way that you do it. Mm. And I'm laughing going, that sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Even though we're doing what to the naked eye might appear to be the same thing. That's heavy, dude.
Yeah.
Like the way that you just described the content planning. Well, look, just ask, go ahead and respond back to Will and say, what will Nick do and what he won't do?
Yeah.
Because now it's like, there's content that I won't do. I can.
Yep.
But I won't because I don't want to. It's not interesting to me.
What is examples?
I'll give you a fucking great example. Not, you know, and this is Will being taking an at bat and saying, hey, Nick, try this. And I said, no.
Yep.
And I'll tell you why. So SVB blows the fuck up.
Yep.
And Will goes, hey, man, why don't you put together like a tutorial on why SVB blew up? I said, absolutely not. He said, why? I go, because I don't want to do that. He's like, why don't you want to do that? I was like, I don't fucking care enough to do that research. And also, why am I the guy that has to do that? Aren't there like 9 million other more like bland, let me not be a dick. Aren't there just 9 million other just kind of more direct financial experts and influencers that can handle this? I don't actually want to fucking do that, dude. Now, if he said, hey, could you do this weird thing where you like pull apart like the top 10 blues guitarists of all time? I'd be like, yeah, man, I'm going to do it right now. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. This is the magical, freaky thing when you start to listen to yourself. Because I almost said, yeah, I'll do it. It'll probably get a lot of impressions. I'll do some research, you know. Also, I don't know enough or care enough about that incident on a granular level to educate the general public. Dude, not me. I got you guys everywhere else in my zone, but I'm not going to go outside of my zone into a place that isn't authentic. You're not going to like it. I'm not going to like it. I'm going to get tired. I'm going to get cranky. I'm going to be a bad, you know, host. I'm not going to have energy and I'm just not going to do it.
I'm cracking up because the same thing happened on our team.
Really?
The same exact same thing. Like this SVB thing was happening and I recorded the video. I made a video. We put it on Twitter, put it on LinkedIn. It actually got some good traction because like I did, no one had done just a short.
Because everyone had the conversation and no one made the video but you.
No one made a video. I was seeing all this content. It was written. I was like, I'm going to do a legit explain like I'm five of this. Now, the reason why we actually did it was because it was tied to our offering. We have a banking offering. So it was a little more connected. It wasn't as out there.
Right.
But I'm just cracking up because it was a very similar thing, the incident happening. And I guess it did make sense. It made a little more sense for us to do. But I do like what you're saying around, I'm not gonna, you can't, like you can brute force your way into doing it. For me, it's on the weekends, whenever it might be. Mm-hmm. But if you don't enjoy it or it's like, it's too much friction. It's, it's too out there. It's not the blues guitars breakdown.
Top 10 list.
It's not that, it's let's break down the bank and FDIC insurance. You'll do it once, or if Will asks really kindly, or he's like, yo, you gotta do this, you will.
Right.
But you won't do it the next time. And
definitely not.
That's why you have to lean into whatever you find interesting and what you're best at.
Yeah.
And even, sometimes you don't know that until you do it, which is a bit of the paradox. But
yes,
if you're doing that, no one's going to beat you.
No one's going to beat you. And I am
going to outlast you. And that's the thing too. Like if you have the mindset of I can just do this, I'm going to do this for years. What, game over.
Yes. But this is where it gets to the crazy territory. Don't do the thing that you think I want to hear about. Okay. Because I just admitted that I'm an absolute lunatic with music and guitar and blues specifically. Maybe one day I'll tell you about that, guys, because I can talk about that for hours and hours and hours. But in my little corner over here, in my little corner of what I've been categorized as entrepreneurship, startups, finance, I'm going to show you only the things that I am interested in this wide spectrum of information. I'm going to talk about them in only the way that I understand. and I'm going to hang out with the people that only I want to hang out with. And if you're here for it, fuck yeah. But know that it's all real. There's no bullshit. And I'm not going to do homework that someone tells me to do because it's going to get clicks. Dude, we're at time.
I feel like we can keep going. This is awesome, man.
Listen, man, thanks for coming on. Keep me up to date with what's going on with Doula. What's the website?
Doula.com. Doula.com. DOOLA.com.
Yeah, check it out. So, business in a box.